I liked how Nathan pointed at us and said, okay, you know, say you're wonderfully made. Well, the passage actually says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But isn't it true as you get older, some days you feel more fearfully than wonderfully made? You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's the third Sunday of every January. We celebrate this day that gives us a chance to talk about issues related to human value and human dignity and the worth that we have in the sight of God. And what it really does for us, it gives us a chance to talk about these issues, but God sets the issues. He sets his standard. And then what happens with us is, excuse me, let me give me a cough. What happens with us is that day to day, week to week in our life, what happens, we slide. We get challenged on the issues of life and worth and dignity. And in our culture right now, we are pushed to believe that there are some people, some races, some ages that are more valuable than others. And what we get to do on this day is make sure that our perspective of human worth and dignity and God's perspective of human worth and dignity are aligned. And that's what we try to do. And so it's worthwhile to celebrate. You can see on the screen that our topic today is all about honoring our parents in the twilight of their life. And even with that title, you can feel the weight of this kind of a discussion. It's not easy. It's emotional. And for anybody that has already gone through this stage of your life, you know it is very difficult. And yet it's still worthwhile to talk about these things and to figure out, you know, this moment when the kid becomes the caretaker, and then the caretaker has to watch the decline of mom and dad, to talk about how we maintain God's point of view when it comes to the worth and the value of mom and dad, even as their bodies and minds fail. So let's set the baseline. It comes from Genesis 1:27, and we're going to read it together. I have it for you up here. This is the baseline for human value, human dignity. This is why being created in God's image matters. So we're going to read this together. Genesis 1:27. Let's read this together. Here we go. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So human worth, first and foremost, comes from how God uniquely created man. So we are different than the animals. We're different than the plants. We're different than any other creation because God made us in his image. So worth and value, and these questions related to the issues of worth and value, flow from the baseline of being made in God's image. Every human being, no matter the age, no matter their capabilities, no matter their deficiencies, they're all made in the image of God and are therefore inherently valuable to him and therefore need to be valuable to us. I want to look at two verses with you very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6 is the first one. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, it's a passage that is known very well because we always talk related to our kids. But it's really a passage that is not only for kids. Here's what it says. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, I want you to just notice a couple things. Number one, children, obey your parents. Baseline, easy. We love it. We talk to our kids all the time about it, right? Children, obey the Lord. But if you look, go to verse 2, you realize that the honoring of mother and father does not carry with it a word like until you're 18, until you're out of the house, until you're financially solvent, until it is inconvenient for you. It doesn't carry any until. It is for all of your life. So as a child, you grow up, you obey mom and dad. And then for the rest of your life, you find ways to honor them. Which, and if we're all honest, there are times that that is very easy, and there are times that it is very, very difficult. And as their bodies fade, it becomes very, very difficult. One more passage, 1 Timothy 5. Flip over to 1 Timothy 5, if you would, please. In this passage, there is something that ratchets up our responsibility to an aging mother and father to a whole different level. And I want to show it to you and just tell you what it says. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, now let's stop, let them is not the widows, them is the children and grandchildren. Let them, the children and grandchildren, first learn to show godliness to their own household, and look what it says, to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. And that phrase in verse 4 should really jump out at us. To make some return to their parents. And how this return is made to the parents is pleasing to God. So, you know, what does that mean? What does it mean to make a return to the parents? And you can really think of it in terms of investing. Mom and dad invested in you. And there will be a time in your life when you will get to repay some of that investment. Here's how one guy said it. He said, the raising of children requires tremendous sacrifice. And it is only right that children make sacrifices for parents in return. I think that's the meaning here. Mom and dad made a lot of sacrifices for you. There will be a time in your future when it will be your turn to make sacrifices for them. And to be clear, Paul says that there is a way in making this return of caring back for mom and dad that is pleasing to the Lord, which also means that there is a way of ignoring that responsibility that is displeasing to God. It goes both ways. And in fact, in verse 8, he gets to that next level. Look what it says in verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, and look at this harsh word, look at the harsh way he says this. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now that is harsh. And we could spend all kinds of time talking about it, but I think Paul's point is this. This is not a small question. This is not a, hey, your choice is your choice kind of question. This is a question that is related to pleasing God, and it is related ultimately to how God views the depth of our own faith. And that takes it to a whole different level. So maybe we could ask, you know, why is it so important, and why would we take some time on a Sunday to work through these matters? Well, it's because caretakers face tremendous issues, and it's not easy. They make sacrifices. Their life is altered. Sometimes it's turned completely upside down. Time changes for them. The time is not their own. There's always another question. What do we do with mom and dad? What's our responsibility? What's my schedule? Should I take that vacation? Should I not take that vacation? Who's going to care if I go? And so much of life just changes. And even doing simple things like going shopping or maybe going out on a date with a husband or wife, everything becomes a challenge. And again, the process here is, you know, when we were kids, we were newborns, and they had to change their life for us, change their schedule for us. Now, at the end of life, it goes the other way. When it's our chance to change our life, change our schedule for them. And how we do this is pleasing to the Lord. So the should question is hard. Should we can work through it, we can find it in Scripture. But the how question is even harder. How do we do this? And it's hard to know, you know, what to do and when to do it. It's hard to know, You know, what do you do that day where you have to go take dad's keys away? Or have that conversation with mom. Mom, it's, you know, you've fallen three times. And it's time to move you into an assisted care. Or mom, you're in the assisted care, but it's time to move to the nursing home. How do you really, in real life terms, have that conversation? And that's what today is about. And again, the reason is so important because the most applicable question in this is not what is easiest for me or what is convenient for me, but the question is what honors God in how I do this and walk these moments in these years with mom and dad. How do I honor God? That is the question. So we can't just skate right through. So like you guys, I've known people that have had to walk these days and make these decisions, and it's been heart-wrenching and filled with tears, and every case is different, every situation is different, every solution is different. And so there's not like one size fits all that we can just like put on a hat and say, okay, this is good for everybody, because it just doesn't work that way. So as I was thinking about this Sunday, I thought, you know, I could tell you in theory what I've experienced watching other people. But my parents are in their mid-70s, they're in great health. My time in this moment has not yet come. Yet. But we have people in our church that have walked these days, and I think it'd be really good for all of us to hear from them and learn from them. So if you're part of my panel, would you please come on up? I guess some microphones here. All right, great. All right, well, a good-looking panel indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so what we'll do is we'll start over on the end. Introduce yourself, for those that don't know you, and then tell us who you cared for and in what capacity.
Well, my name's Dennis Carlson, and my mother just passed away last April. And she was 97 and lived in her home until she was 97, the last couple months. But she had been out to Perkins twice, which is rehab out of Good Samaritan. And she had been in a hospital a couple times. When she was 93, she had open heart surgery. So she was quite independent and a go-getter, if you know what I mean. But, you know, we just... taking care of her and then going out to see her and treating her was as another human being and with respect and get to know her better. Believe it or not, I got to know her better the last couple months than I did for a long time. I got to know other things in her life and asking her questions, so it was interesting.
I'm Tom Johnson. My mother and father went from living on the farm to assisted living and then on into a nursing home. I remember, I didn't say this in the first service, years ago my grandfather said, you're an adult once and a child twice. Yeah. And I didn't think much about it at the time, but you know, as I reflect back now, yeah, you know, as a child, you need help. And as you get older, you need help. So,
yeah. Interesting.
I'm Terry Gerber, and both Becky and my parents came to Hastings in their latter part of their life for us to help them. So we got to be with them through assisted living and through nursing home and ultimately to their passing. So we two father and a father-in-law, both with dementia, both completely different on how that dealt with that, but just the aspects that went with that.
My name is Karen Demick, and my parents moved from Des Moines, Iowa to Hastings in 2005. My dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and died 3 years later, although my mother cared for him during that time. She has continued to live independently until this last fall when she was hospitalized and had some short-term rehab. She moved in with us on October 1st, and we've decided last month that this will be a permanent solution, so we are undergoing the clearing out of her house this month. We also are dealing with my husband's parents who are failing to. They moved 2 years ago from Florida up to North Carolina to live with my sister-in-law. So we have a long-term or a long-distance relationship with those parents.
I'm Lou Ann Conant, and I cared for both of my parents. They moved here in 2002, and they lived independently for several years. And then my father died of kidney failure, and at his passing, we promised him we would take good care of Mom, and she then moved in with us. We remodeled our single car garage. I always said Mom gets to live in the garage, but we tried to make it. It was wonderful to have her with us, and we at the time of my dad's passing, my dad was 5 years younger than my mother, and of course she said it was not supposed to happen this way. I thought I would go first, and then we really thought at that time Mom was struggling too and was on hospice three different times, and we thought she's probably not going to live more than 2 or 3 years, and wanted to have her with us, and she was close to not only us, but my sister and my grandkids and great-grandchildren, and that seemed to be a really positive thing for her. But after 3 years, she was at a point where we could no longer care for her, and so we had to make the decision to move to a nursing home, and she accepted that very graciously and understood that. And we were way off on dates. I mean, she lived another 7 years, and she ministered very faithfully in the nursing home. So.
All right. Well, how about three of you answer the question, when it came time to make those decisions, like you said, we made the decision to move her. When it comes time to make that decision, what's the thought process? What goes through your mind and kind of leads you to make the decision and put together kind of the strategy and tactic about how you're going to do it? What's the thought process?
Well, like in my mother's case, she couldn't. She thought she could take care of herself, but she really couldn't. She walked with a walker, and she had a wheelchair, and when she went back home, she couldn't move the wheelchair because the house was carpeted. And then you can't really walk with a walker. So, and getting in and out of a car, when her legs give out, you had to lift her completely. Well, get somebody in and out of your car, one person, even though they're a short person, don't weigh that much, is a tough thing. And so you have to make decisions about how to best care for them. Plus, if they've taken their medications when they should and things like that, because they tend to forget that. Especially if they get dementia. My father-in-law, he was in the dementia or at the
memory care.
They don't always remember to take their medications. And you can buy him a cell phone, and he got lost for 2 days. And yeah, he had a cell phone. When I drove down to his house, the cell phone was plugged in, was sitting on his table. So at least he remembered to plug it in. But, you know, what do you do? You have to make a decision at time what's best for them.
Yeah.
My folks were still living in Chapel, which is out on the panhandle, and I was traveling the state at that time, so I could check in on them somewhat regular, but, you know, maybe, you know, every 3 weeks or something like that. But Dad was developing dementia. He was still driving, you know, he was small town, he knew that, but there were some forgetful things going on. He really was not reliable to care for my mom. My mom went through, to make a long story short, just a period of life where she got really depressed, lost a close family friend, and had gotten sick, and I think she was ready to die, and God wasn't ready for her to die. So She and I don't think she was happy with that, and just got really depressed and quit living, and quit eating and quit taking care of herself. And so it became a situation of mom had fallen a few times from being ill, being weak. I'd be clear off on the other end of somewhere, and my sisters all live a long ways away, so I was the one going out. And that just couldn't happen anymore, and we just needed to bring him to Hastings. With that also came, you know, my dad's biggest joy in life. And I talked about it with him even. We joked about it as he was getting older. How was I ever going to get the keys away from him? And I knew bringing him to Hastings, he couldn't drive around Hastings. He could get around Little Chapel, but he couldn't get around here. And it was surprising how easy that went. So the decision to come here was, I basically told him they had to come. And mom was at the point of her life where she didn't fight anything anymore. She could care less. And dad was fine with that. But I let him follow me down in his car. And then when we got to Hastings, that was the end of that. And he really didn't have a problem with it. He did, all the people that assisted living would look at me funny because he kept telling them all he didn't know what happened to the car, and he definitely didn't know what happened to the money from the car. So I was kind of looked as the bad guy. Just basically the decision was made because they couldn't take care of themselves anymore. And we tried a number of things, and when they finally just wouldn't, when dad got worse and mom got worse, we had to move him to the nursing home. And I told him we were going up to visit a place, and mom knew what was going on, but dad really didn't. And that was the day we moved him in, and later that day dad said something, well, I guess we're staying here, aren't we? I said, yeah, dad, I think we're going to stay here for a while, see what it's like. And mom wasn't happy with me, but that's the way it went.
Well, we were blessed, and David testifies to this, that my parents voluntarily moved to Hastings. So we were not having to make any decisions for them at the time. But this fall, when my mother needed more help, of course, our desire is to live biblically. And the passage that Scott shared this morning was high on our list that influenced us. I have three siblings. They live in California, Washington, and North Carolina. So since my mom was here, it was the obvious choice that we were to care for them, or for her. They have been very supportive, and we talked about alternatives, but given our circumstances also, that we had a room on the main floor that we could empty out all our books and turn into a bedroom. The fact that I was a stay-at-home wife and I had the time and opportunity to minister, and that changed. And also just noticing God's direction, because our daughter and husband and family of five children had just moved. They had lived a block away from us. We're over at our house almost daily, but moved to the Cincinnati area in April. We sold their house about 2 weeks before my mom went into the hospital. So we can look back and see God's hand and timing. And we don't know what's ahead yet. My mom is being 96 next month. She might live to 100, but this is where we are now.
Yeah. Interesting, all three of you said you kind of had to proactively take a step. If you just waited, nothing would have happened. You had to take that step to say, it's time, or we're going to the nursing home, or whatever. That's very interesting. Well, how about for Tom and Lou Ann, as you watched the decline, physical, maybe mental decline in mom and dad, what are some things that you learned, or at least were challenged with, related to the value of life? Because certainly mom and dad at that point, they're not productive. They're not feeding in, but are yet valuable to God. So what did you learn about dignity and value of life as you watched the decline of mom and dad?
I think it was difficult to watch that.
My mother loved to sew. She loved to entertain. She was very, she just enjoyed life. And she became bound to her chair and was not able to leave the chair. And when by herself, she always had to have help walking. And so that was hard to see that being stripped away. And I would often think, oh, it doesn't seem fair. I don't understand why someone who's lived such a godly life, why do they have to go through this? And she's so ready to go home. And yet, to be reminded that, again, we are not the ones in control, and we are not the ones who say what that final day will be. And God has ministry for us. He has something for us to the very last breath. And mom knew that it was going, I mean, she was aware that she needed to be in the nursing home. Mm. And she didn't fight that. And I thought one of the things that I saw was God at work in her life and the opportunities that came to her at the nursing home. She didn't have to go out. But there were nursing aides that came in every day, the nurses, people bringing her lunch or taking her down to cafe, whatever it was, she was light and salt in that nursing home, and they absolutely loved her because she was just a joy. Yeah. And I thought, you know, God had more for mom to do. He needed her there. She was with us 3 years. We didn't think she'd make it past that. And when she got to the nursing home, they took her off of hospice, and she was there another 7 years. So it was just, and I think one of the things that impressed me so much is as the body was becoming more and more frail, the world became less and less important to my mom. It was all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And her relationship.
Yeah, my dad was a proud man. He was a veteran, World War II, and he always took care of mom, and he always worried about mom, even when he was in the hospital at the end, that you're taking care of mom, son. I said, yeah, you bet. But they were very social. He was very, very active. Both of them were in the Legion at Donovan. When something needed done, dad was one of the first to volunteer, and of course mom would be right there with him. But as he started to fail, getting weaker, he says, I can't do this anymore. And I knew it just killed him, hurt him hard, that he couldn't be part of what he really loved to do. And it was really hard to, Dad, I'll take you anywhere you want to go, I'll do it. He says, I just can't do it anymore. So it was hard to see a man coming down to where he couldn't do the things that he wanted to do.
Yeah. Could one of you speak to the toll it took on you and your family?
Well, you can go ahead, Tom. I'll just speak quickly. But, there can be a financial toll. There can be a toll on mentally. And there's things in the past, like we've talked about, hurt things in the past, too. But one of the great things about it is you can sit and talk about old memories, the good times that you did years ago, and things that they maybe forgot that you still remember, and you sit and talk about them and laugh and joke about them, and you can sing with them. We've been up to ICU at times, singing with people up there, Terry, and it's interesting. My stepfather, he's 99 at the VA home in Kearney, and he's got dementia. He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
But I sit and pray with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else, did you want
to? I just echo what Dennis said. There was a toll. There was it was a family vacation that I had to stay home from at the last minute because of an issue with my mom, and everybody else went to California. There was financial things with both parents, and there was a lot of effort, but boy, the joy of those last few years. That would be my story, is enjoy that time. It was very, very special. My dad, every time we got in the car, he'd tell me the same story. Sometimes on the way to Grand Island, 5 or 6 times. Boy, what I'd give to hear that story again.
Yeah.
And my mom, just from a little fluke thing that happened at the nursing home, ended up really enjoying the last couple of years, and we'd have lunch together. Well, we did all the time. We'd have lunch together on Fridays, but those last couple of years, she'd actually talk, and we had a great time. And just that end of life is so special that my sisters, and not because they didn't want to be part of it, just because I was the one that they were in, I got that blessing that they didn't get. And so even though it takes things away, there's so much there from your folks that end of your time is just special.
Yeah, my stepfather was married to my mom for 38 years. He doesn't remember.
Yeah. It's tough, very tough. All right, why don't we, just for time reasons, each of you share one piece of advice that you would have for somebody like my age, parents 75, I'm not in there, but it's probably just over the horizon. What piece of advice would you give for somebody just coming into the first throes of having to make these decisions? What advice would you have for them? I'm gonna start over here. Okay.
Talk to your parents. Talk to them and find out what their wishes are for as that time approaches. And I know it's not easy to do that, but to know what their expectations are, I think, is very helpful. And just know that God is with you and you can trust him to help you through that time.
That's good.
Yes, I think it's the value of a Sunday morning like this to bring the subject up and use it as an excuse to go home and talk to your parents about, but also use it as an excuse to go home and talk to your children about these kinds of situations. I've been blessed to come from a long line of believers, and so my parents took care of my mother's father for 7 years. My grandparents took care of one of the fathers too. So it's part of us, but don't assume anything. And I always think of the scripture, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah. I think as much as you talk about it ahead of time, like I said, both males in our situation, you know, couldn't make decisions at the end of time. Mm-hmm. So talking to them while they're younger and have the ability to make those answers. I know my dad was real adamant. That was after he started to get dementia. He was real adamant about having funeral plans. There was nothing more awesome than when that day came that both my mom and dad, we knew exactly what they wanted. It was just kind of like routine. And you know, so have those conversations in it, because at a difficult time, it makes things a lot easier. And then the other just quick thing, and I said that earlier, just enjoy that time. It's worth every moment of the burden.
In my case anyway, I felt it was, I got involved in their finances. There was a lot of calls on the phone, people want money, and I got $10 here, $20 there, whatever. But I finally sat mom and dad down and said, you know, it's time to take care of yourself. Yeah, but they're calling and they need money. I said, no, they don't need money like you do. So be nosy enough to get involved in their financials. And anytime you can look at your mom and dad and hold their hand and say you love them, do it, because there's going to be a time when you can't.
Yeah, enjoy them while you still got them. My stepfather, he doesn't remember anything that happened in like the last 40 years, but he remembers his childhood. So we talk about that, even though I wasn't there. And my father-in-law, he was under hospice care, and they called us, so I went in there, but didn't have many seconds left. But when he seen me, he woke up and then left again. That was it.
Yeah.
And those are moments you cherish, yeah, and cherish it with them.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. I wish we had more time. I feel like we could talk about this for a long time. There's so much good practical wisdom in it. And I would like to say that sometimes you go through things in life and you kind of get this attitude like, I'm the only one that's ever gone through this, or I'm the first one. Well, the reality is that around us right here are all kinds of people that have walked these days. And they'd be great people just to talk to and say, hey, what did you do? I'm struggling with this, and I don't know what to do. There is some really good collective wisdom around here that we all can bank on when our moment comes. So thank you guys for your time. Thank you for sharing. And I know it's hard to share, and there's tears, but it's kind of like joyful tears in kind of a strange way. So thank you very much. Well, I'm always checking my time. Let me just summarize by saying a few things here to kind of end out. Human dignity, sanctity of human life, and the worth of every human being flows from being image bearers of God. We are different than the rest of creation. We are different than all the other animals because we carry with us the image of God. And we get chances, I think, every day to respond to people around us, to respond to neighbors, to respond to coworkers, to respond in a way that shows that we honor human life. Even when that person might be annoying, even when that person maybe is declining in health, maybe it's inconvenient for us, but we bank on what we know, and what we know is that every human being has worth to God and therefore has to have worth to us. And the way we do this and the way we treat people matters to God. A couple things we heard from the panel, just a couple things off the top of my head. There's a lot of physical care. So I think part of honoring mom and dad is making sure we're aware and ready to step in the physical side as their bodies give out. That is part of honoring mom and dad. Part of honoring mom and dad is talking to them, asking them questions, seeking wisdom, even though we might know what they're going to say. The asking is honoring. And here we go again. Asking is honoring. There we go. Yeah. One of the categories that we didn't talk about that would be very good to explore is forgiving mom and dad. Forgiving them. They may not say it. They may be in the throes of Alzheimer's or whatever. But here's the thing. None of us are perfect parents. None of us had perfect parents. But sometimes we can hold these grudges and then they die and we never get the chance. So I think part of honoring them in their later declining years is the ability to forgive them even for things that they're unaware of. And there's a freedom that comes in forgiving them that way. There's so much more we could talk about. But back to the main point here with honoring mom and dad. We honor God in the way that we honor mom and dad in the twilight of their life. It matters. Not just a convenience. It matters to God, and it's got to matter to us. Let's do that well.